The Go-Ahead Boys and the Racing Motorboat by Ross Kay. Chapter 11. Rescued. No change occurred for another hour in the position in which the boys found themselves. Fred still was lying helpless on the cushions, and the boys, by taking turns or working together at the wheel, had somehow, in spite of numerous moments of peril, been able to keep the black growler headed to the wind. At that time, George broke in upon the silence by saying excitedly, "Look yonder, fellas! Isn't that a boat coming this way?" Instantly, the eyes of all three turned in the direction in which George pointed. Far away, a trail of smoke was visible, and from the direction in which it was moving, it was apparent that it had come from a boat which was coming nearer the place where the boys were drifting than had any boats since their mishap. "I believe it's coming," exclaimed Grant. "We'll get some help pretty soon." "Yes," broke in John, whose hands now were blistered and whose temper had suffered from his efforts. "Yes, she's probably bound for Liverpool and won't stop until she's gone across the ocean. A lot of good it will do to us." "Don't take all the joy out of living, String," laughed George good-naturedly. "Maybe we shan't have any chance to be taken on board, but we'll do our very best anyway." Silence followed as the three boys eagerly watched the approaching boat. For there was no question in their minds now that the unknown steamer was approaching. A few minutes later, Grant said, looking through the field glasses at the approaching stranger, "That's a yacht of some kind, in my opinion." As soon as he had spoken, his companions eagerly demanded an opportunity to confirm his statement. "Sock is right," said John, after a long inspection. "Of course he is," said Grant lightly. "He's always right. How many times must I tell you that if you would only follow my advice, you would soon be improving?" "There's no time to joke," said John solemnly. "We've just got to make them take us on board or help us out of our trouble." "We'll have to wait until they come nearer than they are now," said George. "Have we got a big white cloth that we can use as a signal?" "I think there are some sheets down in the cabin," suggested Grant. "Then I'll get them," said George, quickly, as he disappeared from sight. In a brief time, he returned with two sheets in his arms. Handing one to Grant, while John was still busy at the wheel, George said excitedly, "Now we've got to stand up and let them know that we're here." It was plain to the watching boys that the approaching boat was a yacht, as Grant had suggested. Her graceful outlines now could be plainly seen, and she was swiftly approaching. "I'm wondering," suggested George thoughtfully, "if we are tossing around on the water the way she is, just look at her," he added excitedly, as the yacht in the distance pitched visibly in the rough water. "Of course we are," said John, "only worse. A little boat like the Black Growler is not worth much more than an eggshell." "Still, I would rather be in the Black Growler," laughed George. The spray continued to dash over the motorboat, and the little craft was roughly tossed by the passing waves. Fred twice had rolled from his position on the cushions and fallen upon the floor. The assistance of his friends had been required to restore him to his former position. His ghastly appearance by this time had aroused the sympathies of his companions, and besides, they all were curious and anxious for the safety of the boat as well as of themselves. The sun was still shining brightly, and there was life in the air as it swept across the great mass of fresh water. Steadily, the Black Growler had been moving before the wind, which was blowing directly from the lake. As a result, they were able to see more distinctly the outlines of the shore before them, which now was not more than 2 miles distant. A few minutes had elapsed when George said excitedly, "Do you see what boat that is?" His companions did not reply for a brief time, and then Grant said quietly, "It's the Caledonia." "Yes, I believe it is," joined John. "I know it is," said George. "We're sure now that we'll get some help." "We may have our trouble," suggested Grant, "if the captain answers our hail, or he may pick us up and claim salvage." "I guess there won't be anything like that," exclaimed George, who was greatly relieved by the sight of the approaching yacht. Her black sides glistened in the sunlight, and her graceful outline, now that she was near, had never appeared to greater advantage. Two of the boys were still waving and shaking their sheets as signals of distress. It was evident, however, that they had been seen by the crew of the Caledonia, and the big black yacht was directly bearing down upon them. A few minutes later, the Caledonia shut off steam, and the captain was seen on deck. Approaching the rail, with his speaking trumpet in his hand, he called, "Ahoy there!
What's the trouble?
Our engine is broken down, replied John.
Aren't you the same boys we towed through the Erie Canal yesterday?
Yes, sir, replied John.
You seem to be in trouble most of the way, retorted the captain. It seems to me the best thing we can do is take you up and send you back to your mother's. You aren't fit to be out here on Lake Ontario all alone. What do you want us to do?
At that moment, the owner of the yacht again appeared by the captain's side, and taking the speaking trumpet from that officer, he called to the boys,
Are you in trouble?
Yes, sir, replied John, who still was the spokesman for the go-ahead boys.
What can we do for you?
If you will take us on board or give us a tow until we can land somewhere, we shall be very grateful to you.
What's the trouble?
That's just what we don't know, said John.
Have you got plenty of gasoline?
Yes, sir.
It's something wrong with the machinery this time.
Fred now was sitting erect and gazing interestedly at the people on the deck of the Caledonia. His face was still ghastly in its color, but the opportunity to secure help apparently had aroused him from the semi-stupor into which he had fallen.
I think the best thing will be to take you on board and tow the boat. We're going to put in for the night right here, and if there isn't anybody there who can fix up your machinery, then you'll have to stay until tomorrow morning, when we can take you on to Sackett's Harbor. I think it will be better for all you boys to come on board, he added. In a sea like this, there's no knowing what may happen to a boat in tow.
You fellows go on board, said Fred. I'll stay here and look after the boat.
You'll do nothing of the kind, retorted John promptly. If you stay, I shall stay with you.
It was finally agreed that the four boys should be taken on board the Caledonia, and that one of the crew of the yacht should take his place on board the Black Growler, and do his best to see that she was guided aright while she was being towed by the larger boat. The big yacht was drifting steadily nearer the motorboat, and in a brief time it was possible for a rope to be cast. The boys succeeded in making this fast, and then the yacht swung around so that the Black Growler was in the sea. In spite of the rough water, the boys succeeded in making their way to the deck of the yacht, while one of the crew took his place on board the Black Growler. The motorboat then was dropped back, and when the Caledonia started, she was 50 feet in the rear of the larger boat. Mr. Stevens cordially and yet laughingly greeted the boys, whom he dubbed, at the same time, the Sons of Misfortune. Relieved as the go-ahead boys were by their rescue, they nevertheless all showed traces of chagrin over the fact that twice they had been helped by the big black yacht. "We're going to put up at Henderson Harbor," explained Mr. Stevens. "I have some friends staying at the big clubhouse, and I have promised to spend the night there. I'm sure there will be a welcome for you boys if you wish to stop. It may be, however, that there will be someone there who can fix you up so that you can go on to Sackett's Harbor if you desire. My suggestion is, however, that you spend the night at the clubhouse. In the morning we can take your boat in tow again and drop you at Sackett's Harbor or Cape Vincent for such repairs as you may need."
"Thank you," replied John. "I'm sure we shall all be glad to do as you suggest."
At this time, the members of Mr. Stevens' family approached the little group, and the go-ahead boys, one by one, were introduced. The ghastly expression on the face of Fred, in part, disappeared when he was introduced to the older daughter of the owner, Miss Susie Stevens. Miss Susie Stevens laughed in a manner which increased Fred's annoyance when his companions explained the cause of his troubles.
"I wasn't seasick," declared Fred glibly. "I just had a headache."
"That's all right, Pee-wee," said George in mock seriousness.
"That's all right. All I can say is that I was not seasick. I'm mighty sure I wouldn't be doing some of the things you did."
The young people all laughed at Fred's manifest irritation, but the subject was changed, for the Caledonia, by this time, was drawing near the island on which the clubhouse they were seeking was located. The water within the harbor was much smoother than on the open lake, and the relief from the motion produced by the tossing waves speedily restored Fred, so that when at last the yacht was anchored and the Black Growler was safely drawn into the boathouse, he was ready to take his part with his companions in the events that speedily followed. End of chapter, read by Jorge Acosta for Lit to Go, on the web at fcit.usf.edu.